Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy day to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And so in our Old Testament lesson today, the prophet Isaiah declares these words: the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. So the clear image here is that the people of Israel were living in a dark time, and then God somehow sent light to them, and that light overcame the darkness. And then we hear in the gospel lesson how the angels came to the shepherds, and it says that in that region there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. That's darkness again. Night equals darkness, right? Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And again, you get that image of light overcoming darkness. There's nighttime, and then you get the glory of the Lord shining around them. And it's in that context that the shepherds say, well, okay, we've been given this great gift, this great light. Let's go visit the light. Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And so they went, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Whenever I hear those words, I always think of the three of them in bed together, you know? Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Tight quarters, but there they are. But so it is. We get this image that what this day is all about, what this feast, this festival of the Incarnation is all about, is this defeating of the darkness by the light. And you can think darkness now about anything that has to do with darkness, despair, hopelessness, death itself, sin, brokenness, any image of darkness that you can come up with. What we're getting here is that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, Jesus, defeats all concepts of darkness that you can think about and that I can imagine. The light has come into the world, and all darkness has been defeated, even death itself. And that's what we celebrate on Christmas, the light coming into the world and defeating all forms of darkness that you can imagine. So in that context, I want you to think about this this morning. I want you to think back, as adults and children we are, I want you to think back to the earliest Christmas you can remember. I know for some of you that's going to be decades and decades of thinking. But think about this. The earliest Christmas you can remember. You know, it's interesting to me because so often when I was growing up as a child, the Christmas Eve services really weren't all that big, and the Christmas Day services were packed. And you can see how things have shifted. Because last night we had over 1,000 people here between the three services. We had Rugrats at 4:30, almost 500 of them. At 7 o'clock we had Lessons and Carols, a little over 200 people for that, and then we had another 300, 400 people again for the service last night at midnight, and that's what people come to now. And then you are strange birds who are here this morning. You're the ones that make me work on Christmas morning. But it's true that this is about the light now. It's daytime. You know, Santa's come already, right? How many of you already opened your presents? See, one of the professional hazards of being a priest is we don't get to open up the presents until I get back from doing this service. So we're going to get you right in and out here so I can get home and get my presents. But I can remember my earliest Christmas distinctly. And I shared the story with the congregation last night at midnight. I'll share it with you this morning. Because you see, the earliest Christmas I can remember has to do with light overcoming darkness for me. I have a distinct burned in my brain image. I was 6, maybe 7 years of age at the time. And what you need to understand here is that at that age, 6, 7 years of age, I was afraid of the dark. I still am. I'm not a big fan of the darkness. And this must be distinctly understood, otherwise the rest of my tale does not make sense, if I may quote Dickens here. Now you see, here it was, Christmas Eve, and I grew up in the Cathedral Church of St. Mark's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we're talking the bleak midwinter in Minneapolis, right? Winters are dark times in Minnesota. It gets dark very early in Minnesota this time of year, and so I'm afraid of the dark, and it gets dark very early. It's dark for a long time and a lot of the time. So it's not a happy time for Roger Tobin back then when I was 6 or 7 years of age. And my parents had gone to great lengths to try to help me overcome my fear of the dark. And here it is, Christmas Eve, and my parents had tried everything they could to help me overcome the fear of the dark. I mean, they started off by leaving a light on in the bedroom, and that didn't help because I couldn't sleep, and then they put a light on in the closet. But you see, the problem is, the monsters don't live in the closet. They live under the bed, right? That's where they live. And so putting a light on in the closet doesn't help me at all. And so they tried a night light, plug into the wall, but then what happens if you have to get out of bed? No help then. If you have to get out of bed and go do something somewhere else in the house, that nightlight's not going to go with you because you unplug it and you're in the dark again, right? So we tried everything and I was still afraid of the dark. And here it is, Christmas Eve, and it's dark, and the Lord sends a giant snowstorm into Minneapolis at the same time. So it's 4:30, 5 o'clock, and we're going to the Cathedral Church to do the Christmas pageant, and this was the year that I had actually gotten a speaking line for the first time. I was a shepherd, and I got a speaking line. And now, you need to understand that at the Cathedral Church of St. Mark's in Minneapolis, every child was expected to participate in the Christmas pageant. You did it whether you wanted to or not, because, you see, the dean's wife was the director of the Christmas pageant. And so you had to show up, and I had to show up, and I had to be my shepherd, and I had to go there in the dark, in the snowstorm, deepest, darkest, bleak midwinter, off into the dark, off to the cathedral to be a shepherd. So I arrived at the cathedral, and all the shepherds were sequestered alone in one room. I don't quite know why they didn't put the shepherd with the sheep. I have a feeling because the sheep were the girls and the shepherds were the boys. That was just a choice that they made. But the shepherds were made to go sit in a room that was referred to back then, and I don't know why, but I have my ideas. It was right off the chancel of the church, and it was referred to as the fainting room. Okay, I'm now a shepherd in dark cathedral, in dark Minneapolis, in dark bleak midwinter, in the fainting room with a bunch of other shepherds, 6 and 7 years of age. And they closed the door in the fainting room with a half a dozen shepherds, boys, and they turned out the lights because they didn't want anybody to see into the room. So we're sitting in the dark. Now, they left us a chaperone, or two, if I have memory serves, and the chaperones had something very important as we sat in the dark. They had one of these. Each chaperone had a flashlight. And so we sat in the darkness with our little flashlight. Now I'll tell you, my eyes were riveted on this flashlight. Absolutely riveted. And then the time came for us shepherds to get up and go do our thing and go beyond the hills of the hillsides of Judea and be visited by the angels. And so we walked through these dark corridors of the darkest tomb-like structure of the Cathedral Church of St. Mark in Minneapolis, and the backsides of the cathedral, and underneath the undercroft, and it was dark, but we followed the light. These corridors were, for all the world, everything looking like a castle out of Harry Potter. You catch my drift? And here we are wandering through, but we're following the light, and finally we get to the point where we are going to enter the chancel, which was going to be where we were going to be visited by the angel, and they shove us out into the chancel, us little shepherds, and we go out there, and we're toddling up there, but the chancel's all bright. We're out of the darkness into the brightness. And then they start shining floodlights down on us because the angels are visiting us. And then the angels tell us to go to Bethlehem and see the baby Jesus, and then I get my one line. My one line as a shepherd, which was, "Let us go forth to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And I got it out just like that. And off we toddled to an even brighter light, which was the Christ child. Right? That night, as the service ended, we left the cathedral. The church was packed with people. And as we had been doing this wonderful children's pageant, the storm had passed. And there's this beautiful glaze of white snow all over the ground. And I don't know if you've ever been up north after a snowstorm like that, but the sky gets so crystal clear. Absolutely brilliant, crystal clear. And I swear to this day, when I looked up into that sky, I saw the Christmas star. I'm absolutely sure of it. Shining bright, light in the darkness. And so it is. Jesus is the light of the world. And that light shines in the darkest of times. And so the next morning, I woke up on Christmas morning, and in my stocking, you know what Santa had brought? A flashlight. So Santa helped me overcome my fear of the dark. And you know what the nice thing about a flashlight is? It goes wherever you go. So wherever there's darkness, man, I can take the light with me. Right? Isn't that neat the way that works? So too with Jesus. The light that shines in the darkness goes with us wherever we need to go and whatever darkness we have to confront. And so it is, 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel were living in a dark time. That's what Isaiah said. The people who sat in darkness, who were walking in darkness, had a chance to see a great light. And we call that light Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, it was a dark time. It was a dark time politically, spiritually, emotionally, theologically, any way you can describe it, it was a dark time. Dark because of the Roman oppression on the people of Israel. Dark because of the oppression of Herod himself, their king, who was one of the most evil men you can imagine. He had his own children killed so that they couldn't arrive to his throne. Can you imagine living in that kind of environment? Talk about dark times. We think we got problems in politics now. It was a dark time because of the theology of that age meant that if you didn't live a certain righteous life under the law, you could never be righteous in God's eyes. And guess what? Most people couldn't do it. So theologically, spiritually, emotionally, these people were really feeling the oppression, the darkness of their age. And then because of this oppression from both Rome and Herod, the people economically were absolutely being destroyed. So it was a horribly dark time. And then a light shines in the darkness in the form of a little baby. The first to see that light, of course, were Mary and Joseph. And then the town of Bethlehem. And then the shepherds I was just talking about. They see the light in that darkness. And then wise men from the east follow a light to find the light, and then the light throughout the entire world. It occurs to me that those times 2,000 years ago aren't all that different from our times today. Think about it. These are dark times. These are dark times economically, aren't they? We've been talking about this recession that we're living through as being the worst economic recession since the Great Depression itself. Can you imagine? We're fighting two major wars right now in the Middle East. Two major wars, and we're looking for a third. These are dark times. All of the great leaders of the world just met in Copenhagen, Denmark, to try to address the issue of global warming and walked away with almost nothing to show for it. These are dark times. If you don't believe it's a dark time, here's my challenge to you. If you don't believe it's a dark time, turn on your radio. I'm not kidding. Turn on your radio and listen to talk radio for 5 minutes. And listen to all that bashing of people on the left and on the right, just constant putting people down. It's perpetual. No matter what side of the political issues you're on. If you don't believe that's dark enough, maybe take a look at your own life. Maybe your relationships right now have some darkness in them. Maybe you don't have relationships that you want, and you feel an emptiness inside of you, and that's a darkness. And perhaps some of you, like me, deal daily with an addiction that you have to struggle with. Maybe that's a darkness in your life. Maybe your job is either underwhelming or doesn't even exist right now, and that's a darkness. Darkness, darkness, darkness around us. That's a matter of fact. Boy, this is a depressing sermon. Aren't you glad you came this morning? But there's good news. Because whatever darkness you're dealing with, light has already overcome it. The light we call Jesus. And that light, like this flashlight, goes wherever you go. Goes wherever you go. And whatever darkness you have to deal with, whatever hopelessness you have to deal with, whatever despair you have to deal with, the light has already overcome it. And that's what we celebrate this morning. So would you like the light? Would you like the light? Anybody want this light? You want this light? Okay. Here you go. Anybody else want a light? I got one more. Hold on. One. Over here, you want the light? There you go. Thank you. Anybody else want a light? You want a light? Okay. I got one more. Had 300 of these things last night. Tell you what we're going to do. Because this could take the rest of my congregation, and I really want to get home and open up my presents. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to have these available at the end of the congregation of the service over here. And you can pick one up. Anybody? Oh, you know what? I see a little piece of that. I see another little hand over here. You're welcome. Here, Richard. Share with your brother. You got a light in your hand? Turn it on. Turn it on. Let's do it like Madonna here. Okay? You see, this is what it's all about. Light in the darkness. Jesus came and overcame any darkness you can imagine. And you can carry that light wherever you go. So, turn your light on. Isn't that neat? Wherever you go. You know what? This could take the rest of the service, so we're gonna stop right here, right now. All these hands are going up all of a sudden. Okay. You can pick them up with me in the church after the service this morning. So, the light is coming to the darkness. The light has come into the darkness. Despair and death itself has been defeated. And that light goes wherever you go. Hold on to it.